Growing up in the era that I grew up in, there wasn't many electronic devices, I see, and even myself can play Scrabble or something on my electronic device, and it's fun to play those games. And it can take hours and hours and hours to play some of those games on the. You kind of got hooked into them. Well, when I was growing up, that wasn't really an option to have an electronic game. I can remember when the first Yahtzee game came out, where you had to push the button and it rolled the dice for you. I thought that was very, very high tech back in the day. But growing up, we were game players, and I'm not so much a board game player, but we had games that we made up along the way. And there was some of them were, some of them were less safe than other ones, So, we had this one game that we had made up among the siblings and maybe a cousin or two once in a while, if we could get them into this. And it was called just simply Taste. And the goal was is to you had to wear a blindfold, and you had to the other person would go to the kitchen, and they would put something on a spoon, and then you had to come in, and you would open your mouth, put the slide on, please, and you would open your mouth, and they would feed you this. That was a great message, I think, at one point in time. I'm not sure I'm ready to preach that one. But so you would go to the kitchen if your brother or you were the one in the living room or away from the kitchen so you couldn't see, and you were the one having to wear the blindfold. You would have to, and he would come in with a spoonful of something, and you just had to plug your nose because you couldn't cheat with smelling, and you had to blindfold so you couldn't cheat with seeing. You couldn't touch it, so you weren't cheating with touching. You just opened your mouth, and simply they would put it in your mouth. Okay, there was rules to the game. The rule was it had to be edible, okay? But edible doesn't mean good tasting. Just because it comes out of the kitchen doesn't mean you're supposed to eat it solely alone. So there was times when you get peanut butter. Oh, I can identify peanut butter. That's how you scored the game, if you could identify what was in your mouth. But if you spit it out, then you were going to lose points. Okay, so it's very challenging to get a teaspoon full of baking soda, identify it, and not spit it out. Okay, that's where it comes very challenging. Some spices, aren't supposed to be eaten by just the spoonfuls, okay? They're not supposed to be put in your mouth. And you play this with your brother, and of course, he wanted to be nice the first round, so he thought you would be nice, but you would just simply open your mouth and taste what it was to see if you could identify it. And as I think through that, I wonder, I have four more senses. I have hearing, right? And I have sight, and I have touch, and I have smelling. I wonder if you could play the game just simply using the senses. Can you tell what you're hearing? Can you tell what you're seeing? Can you tell what you're smelling? I think there's a goal that you could have a game for each one of the senses, to see if you can identify the touch. The sense of touch has really intrigued me lately, that the sense of touch and just what it does and how it works in our bodies and how it works in our minds. The sense of touch is a powerful sense. The sense of touch is powerful. It is to put something in contact with something else. Simply touch. There is power in the touch. And I find it interesting how fast that goes through our system. They claim that up to 168 miles an hour touch moves through our system. Well, I don't know about you, but when it has to go from here to your brain and it's traveling 168 miles an hour, it doesn't take long to get there. And then it runs it through filters as it goes, so you can know if something is hot before you know that it's smooth. Isn't that amazing? That it prioritizes the thought prioritizes in that 168 miles an hour, that priority, the senses amazing to me. The sense of taste and being able to determine what's in your mouth, but also the sense of touch and know what's touching you or what you're touching. The power of the touch and how it works in our bodies and how it filters. So we can tell what we're touching. There is a medical condition that causes us to have the loss of touch. Basically, it's just numbness. All of a sudden, you become numb. You don't have the ability to feel the touch. And how drastic would that be? I know that I'm a low taster, they tell me. I don't taste high levels of stuff. I can eat stuff it's probably not really supposed to be eaten. And they said, whatever. See, my taste system doesn't work. But they said you can get to your touch system doesn't work. And I'm thinking this week, how tragic that I could become numb to the touch. That I wouldn't feel when my wife touches me. Or I wouldn't feel when my granddaughters hugged me. I couldn't feel that. What a tragedy it would be to become numb to the touch. See, I'm a firm believer that God has given us all five senses. And I think that God wants to do something through all five senses that He's given us. He wants to touch us. But I have a feeling that I become numb to His touch. I wonder if there's something in my life has caused me to become numb. And I don't know when God touches me. And God says, I want to touch you. I want to do something in your life through touch. I've given you the ability to see. And I'm going to do things in your life through that ability to see and to taste. I'm really going, I want to be able to taste God. I always talk about seeing God. I want to taste God because I think God has given me all five of those senses. And that's the only way that information gets into my system is through those senses. And so I'm thinking, God, you've got to be speaking to me. You've got to be working in my life through every one of those senses. God, you want to touch me. You want me to be touched by you, God. You want me to feel the touch and not be numb to your touch. You've given me the ability to feel the touch. And I know it goes on beyond just the physical touch because I'm touched by things that I receive. I'm touched. I say, I'm touched by getting a card. Or I'm touched by that phone call. I'm touched and something's going on. I describe it as being touched. Why do I do that? Because God wants me to feel through those senses that He has given me. And so God wants to touch. I believe God is touching us. But I think I might have a medical condition that's causing me to be numb. I think I have a spiritual condition that's causing me to be numb at times. And I can't feel the touch of God. I think God wants to give us a touch. We're on a series of what God wants to give us. God is the giver of the five senses. The input into our system comes through those five mechanisms. No other way. Therefore, so I am sure that God uses all five to give us input. And He wants to touch us. Will we let Him touch us this morning? Will you let Him touch you? What comes through the touch of God? I know different things come through the seeing, but what comes through? What are in the hands, so to speak, of God? What does He want to touch you with? What does it feel? What does it feel like to be touched from God? And I can't say it enough. God wants to use all five of those senses. He is giving them to us to get information into us. He definitely wants to touch us. And I think sometimes that comes through someone who is His child and touching, physically touching people. But there's an element of God wants to touch us that goes beyond just the physical touch. But we're going to describe it as a touch by God. I've been touched. He's going to give us, to put it in our, into the possession of another for his or her use. Just so you know, my mind going here. God wants to give you something through a touch that's going to be yours to put into use. He said, I'm going to touch you, and I'm going to release something into your life. I'm going to release it into your life, and then it's yours to use. But I'm going to touch you to do that. Can I touch you and release into your life what I want to release into your life? Well, can I just see it? It comes from a touch. Well, I just want to see God working from a distance. No, you got to let me touch you. See, my eyes work a lot further than my hands. And I get touched by God. God says, I want to touch you. I want to touch you. I want to touch you. And I'm going to release something into your life that is for your use. God wants to put something into your possession through a touch. Will you let him put something into your possession through a touch? Let us move through the passages here. I want to just a snippet of what the hands of God brings into people's lives, what the hands of God wants to bring into your life. The whole homework is a continuation of all these things about the hands of God, what they want to bring into your life. But let me just unpack some of those this morning. Just a few, just to mention them. I want to dive deep into each one. I can't. I realized that this morning. But let me uncap it just a little bit. That God wants to put something in your life. He wants to touch you. I want to be free to feel the touch of God. Look what he says in 1 Samuel 10:26. He says this, Saul, the first king of Israel, also went to his home in Gibeah, accompanied by valiant men. Valiant, strong, mighty, competent, full of ability men whose hearts had been touched by God. I find that very interesting that that's the way they describe that. God was doing something in this moment. And it's described that God touched them. And through that touch, they become valiant men. They become competent men. They become strong men through the touch of God. God says, I touched them. Through my hands, they become valiant men. Are you with me this morning? See, I don't know if they could put their finger on it to know, oh, this felt like a hot iron, or this felt like a cold piece of ice. I don't know. But somehow, when God touched them, they become valiant men. I don't know about you, but I want to become a valiant man. I want to become a powerful individual. I want to become competent. And I don't think that happens unless God touches us. And God says, I am ready to touch you. I want to touch you. Will you let me touch you? Because I have things in store for you that no eye has seen and no ear has heard and no mind can conceive. And I'm going to give them to you through a touch. I just want to see them. I'm going to touch you. I need to touch you. Will you let me into your life to touch you? Listen, I don't have all the definitions of what that's going to feel like either. See, I can describe this. I'm touching Kent. I understand what that feels like when someone else touches me. But I want to know more and more and more about when God touches me. Because through the touch of God, these men become valiant men. Matthew Henry. From the 1706, he wrote this, whatever good there is in us or is done by us at any time, it must be ascribed to the grace of God. If the heart bends at any time the right way, it is because he has touched it. One touch is enough when it's from the divine. And I don't know if I can give you a list. It's going to feel like ice. It's going to feel like fire. It's going to feel like something sharp. It's going to feel like this. It feels like, I don't know. But I know that it's going to transform us into mighty people, into valiant men and women. God wants to touch us. And maybe after allowing him to touch us, we'll be able to describe, it felt like this. Or maybe it's a whole new feeling that you've never felt before, and you're going to struggle to give it a definition. But you know God touched you. Because you see what it's doing in your life. You know that it comes from a touch of God. You know that you become confident. You know that the chains have been broken. You know because God has touched me. Touch from God is life-altering. A touch from God is life-altering. He wants to bring a touch into your life and it's going to alter your life. I got a phone call just this past week from a guy that I don't know if any of you would know or not. I'm not going to mention his name. He said, I just come across this guy. He's walking the streets. He said he's a heroin addict. I don't know what to do. I think I'm going to take him to my house and get him some food, and maybe God will open up the way to share the gospel with him. I said he needs some rehab too. He's going to have to detox from that. There's a good chance that your body can succumb to that detoxing, and you need someone to come alongside of him and detox him. Okay, he said, I'll let you know how I make out. He called me the next morning. He said, I found out that he had just left a rehab when he come up against. He just walked away from the rehab. I took him to my house and I fed him some food and we watched a movie, Courageous. At the end of the movie, I said, what do you think? He said, I think I need Jesus in my life. He opened his heart up to Jesus and Jesus touched him right there in that guy's living room. And he says, now what do you want to do? And he says, I think I need to go back to rehab. Will you give me a ride? I need to work on this touch I just received from Jesus. It alters life. I got to get moving because I got a bunch of gloves to give away. I know that. Heaven is my throne, God speaking, and the earth is my footstep. What kind of house will you build for me? God said, man, you're trying to do. The Lord said, or where will my resting place be? Has not my hands made all this? You know what I love about the touch of God? It's very creative. Push the button, please. It's very creative. It has creative power. You know what? When I don't have something in my house, I have to run to Lowe's to get it. You know where God has to run? Nowhere. When he's bringing something into your life and he wants to touch you, he has creative power. If it's not on board, he'll create it at the instant he brings it on board for you. He has to run nowhere with a shopping list to get anything. His power, his touch will be life-altering. His touch is creative. He can create anything at any time that he needs. If you don't think it's there, that's maybe a logical conclusion. It's not on board, God. He said, I know, but my touch is creative. My touch can bring it into your life. My touch can manifest it now in your life. See, I got to be honest. Sometimes I limit God to what I can do. And God says, you need to get you out of your head so I can get into your head. Because you're taking up too much room in your head. And you're trying to describe me by what's in your head. How about describing what's in my head, what's in my heart, what's in my touch? Start describing your life like that. And watch what I can do. I can create a... It's going to touch you. I'm going to touch you, and it's going to alter your life. Push the button, please. His hands, Job says, in his hands is the life. In his hand is the life of every creature, the breath of all mankind. I love it when somebody says, well, I can do this without God. Good luck. He's got your very breath in his hand. If he hasn't touched you, you ain't breathing. And you could kick him to the curb, and he's a gentleman enough to let you kick him to the curb, but he's still giving you breath to breathe. And some of these families are up against a lot of stuff. This is for Miss Pinky. And you. Because the God's touch does this. Push the button. God's touch sustains. You may be in the challenge of your life, but God's touch will sustain you. God's touch is creative. God's touch alters your life. Will we let God touch us? Will he give you something through a touch? A new way, a new touch. Push the button, please. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands or in your touch are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. How does that feel? I know this much of how it feels. I'm waiting for more and more and more. God's touch promotes and provides. And God will promote you. And God will lift you up. And God will make your feet stand on new heights. And why you stand on a new height? Oh, God, I'm a little leery here of heights. I need to climb back down. Wait a minute. In my touch is also a provision. I just promoted you to a new heights. I know that you're scared of heights. Let me give you a provision so that you're no longer scared of where you are. Does that make sense this morning? Because I'm going to ask you to do things that you don't think you can do. I'm going to promote you to places you don't know you can go. And I'm going to promote you to places you don't know you can go. And when you get there, I'll get every provision for you. Don't fear the promotion. Because the provision is there. Are you with me this morning? I only have 65 more of these to go. The game's not on until 6. I thought I had all afternoon. 6:30. Amen. I'll get moving. I want us to be touched by God. Your right hand is filled. See, the AV person's moving me along here. So your right hand is filled with righteousness. Righteousness, righteous is right, straight, accurate, good, perfect. God wants to bring that into your touch. Through his touch, he wants to bring what is straight, what is right, what is accurate, what is good, what is perfect. He said, can I bring that into your life? I want to touch you. Oh, I want to touch you. God's touch sets right. My life is too upside down. No, it's not. The gentleman that had walked away from rehab, the first thing he said is, I'm too far gone. And the guy on the other end of that conversation says, I can guarantee you, you are not. Because God's touch sets right. God's touch is accurate. God's touch sets you on new heights. God's touch promotes. God's touch gives provision. God's touch is powerful. God's touch is creative. God's touch is life-altering. Will we let him touch us? It's one of the senses that he's given us so he can put input into our life. I'm telling you, this world has no problem touching you or your kids. For day and night, your hands are heavy upon me. See, this is when I don't like God touching me, so to speak. I'm glad that he does. My strength was sapped as the heat of the summer. Conviction is coming up on the psalmist. I'm being found guilty. God says, I touch you. Oh, I feel conviction. Oh, oh, it's heavy. God said, I had to bring it to you so we could deal with it. Don't worry. My touch is also creative. My touch is right. My touch is powerful. My touch is life-altering. Don't worry. My touch will carry you on through this, but you got to know my touch brings conviction at times. So don't push God's hand away when he's bringing the conviction into our life. Let it stay there because it'll come. The rightness will come. The righteousness will come. The creative power will come. The forgiveness will come. Because I don't want to give you through something through a touch. Push the button. The Lord answered Moses, is the Lord's arm too short? I love it when God asks rhetorical questions. Okay, class. Question. Is my arm too short? I'm going to guess no, God. Just the way you ask that, God, I'm just going to guess no. But your arm is not too short, which means it has no limits. It has no boundaries. It can reach into anybody's life. It doesn't matter how upside down you are. It doesn't matter how messed up you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't matter if you got it all right or got it all wrong. God says, my hand knows no boundaries. My touch knows no boundaries. I'll touch, and it knows no boundaries. I want to touch you. I want to touch people, maybe through you. You got to know, listen, New Life, we got to know that God's hand will touch beyond the boundaries, and you might be the hand. Can I send you anywhere? Because my touch is there. My touch knows no boundaries. Stretch forth your hand from on high, rescue me and deliver me out of the great waters, out of the hands of the aliens whose mouths speak deceit, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. God said, I need to be rescued out of that. Will you send something? And God said, I'll send a touch. Push the button, please. Because God's touch rescues. I said, I want to touch you. I'll rescue you. My brother used to fly, or he didn't fly him. He was the medic on board of medic. He was a medic, a flight medic. And he used to have stories where, man, they lowered me in over the water on this cable, and you could just listen to him. My adrenaline was starting to go. And we rescued them from a car just before it was swept down the river. And I'm thinking, how much adrenaline has God got going when he rescues you, when he's got the chopper over top of your life, and you're going down the river, and God sends in someone, and he pulls you out of there. Woo! He says. You think those medics got hyped up? I think God gets hyped up when he rescues us. He said, that's my touch. I'll do that. Push the button, please. I have set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. How about it? I will not be shaken. Push the button, please, because God's touch stabilizes, steadies. God's touch steadies. He steadies. Push the button. Come. I love this one. He said, and Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And cried out, Lord, save me. Look what Jesus does. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand. This just rocked me to the core this week. The touch of Jesus. Because look what he says. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? You know what I think he got through? Just work with me here. You know, I'm almost done. Work with me here. I think a touch from Jesus increased his faith. See, I don't think Jesus, see, I always think, oh, Jesus got him by the nape of the neck and pulls him out and sticks him on top of the water or carries him to the boat. I always looked at it that way. I don't think it's that way at all. I think when he touched him, his faith began to grow and he stood on the water again. And then they got in the boat. A touch from Jesus increases your faith. I got one more. Jesus approached the town gate. A dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother. She was a widow. You know what that means? In this day and age, she was up against the wall. She could not climb. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. I'm thinking, that'd be the normal thing to do. Because I'm about ready to touch something in your life, he says. And then he says this. When Jesus went up and touched the coffin, and this week I was challenged with Jesus saying, do you want me to touch your coffin? Do you want me to touch the dead spots in your life? I know you've wept over them, and I know you've wept over them, and you've wept over them. I've come to touch them. I've come to touch the dead spots in your life. Yeah, and he said, and those who carrying it stood still. He said, young man, I say to you, get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Power in the touch. God's touch makes the impossible possible. God's touch makes the impossible possible. Just before you write that dead spot off in your life, don't write it off until Jesus has a chance to touch it. Because his touch is powerful. Because his touch is creative. Because his touch will alter your life. Because his touch is life-altering. Because God's touch is creative. Because God's touch sustains and promotes and provides. Because God's touch sets right and convicts and knows no boundaries and rescues and steadies and increases your faith and makes the impossible possible. All through the touch. Of God. I want to touch you. Shout of joy, shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. Why? Because the Lord's right hand has done mighty things! Exclamation point. See, I think we need to get ready. You need to learn this verse. Because I have every expectation we're going to be quoting it a lot when God touches us. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things! The Lord's right hand has lifted high. Matter of fact, stand with me today. Here we go. May shouts of joy and victory resound in your life, in the tents and in your homes of the righteous. Why? Because the Lord's right hand has done mighty things in your family. Because he's brought it to your family through his touch. The Lord's right hand has lifted high. He has set you on new heights. He has provided for you when you get there in those new heights. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die. I will live. And we'll proclaim what the Lord has done in my life. And in Jesus' name, have a great day.